Odell goes back there, obviously, in Cleveland to return a punt, and maybe this weekend is a lump in your throat the whole time, or how do you react to that?
I tell you what, he's obviously, we all know, a heck of a player, and a lot of good things happen when the ball's in his hands, and so if the decision is made, hopefully that turns out well for us. You know, we're excited, and we'll have to wait and see. I don't know if any decisions have been made as far as whether he's going to do that or not, but obviously he's a special talent, and the more opportunities he gets to touch the ball, that bodes well for us.
We ask you every week about the running game. Last week you had a couple of plays with the power backfield, full house backfield. Do you feel the running game took a step back, a little bit of a step back last week, given, you know, the lack of opportunities?
You could probably say that's an accurate statement. And I say it's relative. I mean, we still had some opportunities where we ran the football, and in terms of how we gauge our success in terms of, you know, we talk about, Coach McAfee talks about, I should say, winning the down and how many yards we get and so forth and achieving goals for the game. We achieved that goal. I think what happens is we also had some negative plays. We had a few more of the negative runs, the tackles for losses, those types of things that we hadn't had. And I think that kind of skews the stats and kind of gets us to kind of take a step back. But so from that standpoint, we had a couple weeks where we weren't having those negative runs. And even, again, second and nine isn't a bad thing. You know, we all prefer second and six, second and five, second and four after a run. But we had a few of those. So we're able to get a couple snaps, as you mentioned, of that, you know, the tighter personnel package in terms of giving a different personnel grouping and a face out there. That was good. So the more success we can have with that, hopefully we can do more of that in the future to give us a little more balance.
You had success with it. So if the outside's hard to understand maybe why you don't use it more, why you went away from it.
Yeah, I think there's a bunch of factors that come into play in terms of that, in terms of what type of plan that we have for that particular package, and then also how much of a sense defensively what we anticipate seeing them do. From a scheme standpoint, from a physical matchup standpoint, if it's to our advantage and we feel that we can use it, we certainly would like to use it more often. It's just kind of one of those things that as the game unfolds, you know, teams have tended to play us differently, or I don't want to say differently, they've kind of tended to accentuate certain things from a cover standpoint with regard to trying to do what they can to handle number 13, and that is a factor that comes into play, and always trying to, you know, put him in position to put the ball in his hands and yet still have some of that balance from a run game standpoint. So there are a lot of things that come into play, but certainly it'd be nice to have that type of versatility to be able to have that package as well as our primary or zebra package to try to keep the defense off balance.
Mike, Shane Vereen saw his first action since the third week of the season this week. How do you think he's looked so far? When do you expect he could be back?
You know, I can't speculate on when he's going to be back. He did everything that we asked him to do today. It was great to see him out there and hoping for the best.
Mike, when you look at the receivers and when they're not getting open, is that just a matter of them not winning their one-on-ones, or is there something you as coaches can do regarding the patterns they're running or how you're coaching them to run patterns?
As far as
helping them to get open and separate more.
Right. You know, that's a great point in terms of the separation. You know, I think the thing that a lot of folks would tend to think back upon this most recent game in terms of some of the deeper passes. You know, gosh, the Giants were finally airing it out, but we didn't, you know, have some completions and not a lot to show for it. We had six opportunities where we pushed the ball down the field and only had the one completion. And I think it really is a combination of three things. You know, we obviously have to have the accuracy, and there's certainly that early in the game. I know Eli would love to have that throwback in terms of the 1-2 Odell. Have to have the protection so that he can set his feet, step into the throw. But I think what you're talking about is a couple of those deeper passes that we had just to try to win at the line of scrimmage and gain the separation that we need. But then also, particularly if it's a deep pass, we always talk about holding the red line, trying to make sure we give the quarterback enough room that we're not continually widening to the sideline. So now all of a sudden the defense gets a 12th man, Sammy sideline, okay, in terms of having to get that, you know, to try to maintain that. So, you know, we've got to do a better job there. We've had some great work today and worked on that throughout the week and are always trying to work on those things to get separation. And, again, I would just commend Adam Henry. I think our receiver coach does as good a job as anybody at working those drills, even in the season where we don't have as much individual time. So, obviously, something we've got to get better at, and I think we'll be in good shape moving forward.
Odell had, I believe it was 5 targets early first quarter. How much of that was scheme?
How much of it was scheme? Every time we get a target to Odell, it's scheme. Okay? Every possible way we can get him the ball, it is a scheme. All right, and we are trying like crazy to get number 13. The news flash: 13 gets the ball, we're a better offense. In all seriousness, to answer your question, their defensive coverage concepts. Every team usually has their core two, three different ways they're going to want to play their defensive coverages. And we've oftentimes taken a look at how this particular defense plays a premier receiver. Perfect example would be you're getting ready to play Cleveland. Well, how did they play Antonio Brown? How did they play A.J. Green? How did they play Dez? Different players that maybe kind of somewhat fit our personnel, but then also schematically have to be very similar to us. And there's an anticipation of how that's going to play itself out, and you try to, as a coaching staff, formate things, have different concepts that will match that, but then ultimately when Sunday comes around, they may change a little bit and decide to say, you know what, we may have played A.B. or A.J. Green a certain way, but they were much more aware of, I should say, 13. And this most recent game is a good example of that, where there was a lot more consistent too high coverage, particularly whether it was man or zone with the safety over the top, to 13. In fact, one of the last clips we had was the fourth one we were talking about as far as that deep ball. That was the last quarters that he got to see for the day. So we're always trying to find ways to get him involved and look at different ways, not just how he matches versus the coverage, but how we can get him in different spots in the formation, not always just number one or number two and in the slot and so forth, like you guys have asked about in the past.
Mike, early in the fourth quarter, when Eli came to the sideline after a three and out, I think he had gone to Lewis maybe once or twice deep, didn't complete. He looked kind of frustrated. You talked to him a little bit. The offense obviously came back out and scored late. What did you say to him? Was it new seeing Eli that frustrated?
Well, I tell you, he's such a steady guy. If there is some frustration, I tell you, it goes away quickly. I mean, he's a guy that will just – I always like to give all our players a moment when they come off the field just to kind of collect themselves and get some water. And then, it was kind of chilly out there, so it was nice to wait for him on that nice heated bench to have the iPad to go over the pictures. But by the time he got to me, I think at any point there's frustration on everybody's part. It's just a matter of trying to take a hard look at, okay, well, now what do we want to do? All right, based upon where we're at, what we're seeing, what would be the best thing for us to do? Is there some more quick passes? There's some things that we can do to try to get you moving in the pocket, some different runs. So there's that constant communication where I get his ideas, I have my own suggestions, we're talking with the other coaches, and then, forwarding the information to Ben so that we can see what direction we're going to head in. So there wasn't a whole lot of outward displays of frustration. I mean, he's a steady competitor, he's a true professional. It was just trying about, okay, how can we move forward?
Seems like Paul Perkins had a couple of nice blitz pickups. What have you seen as far as his development?
Absolutely. There's the question of the day right there. Paul Perkins was phenomenal. There are two big-time, hopefully this thing is blown out of proportion, we're putting him in Canton, Ohio or anything. But there were two specific clips that Paul Perkins against a heck of a player. I mean, Jamie Collins is a load, and he matched up well. He did an excellent job in blocking his man, and he continues to get better and better. Obviously, he's got a ways to go in all areas, but to answer your question, he did an excellent job there, and so now it's just a matter of when he knows who to block, that's great, but we still have a couple instances where he has some uncertainty, and Eli has to direct him a little bit too much. He's working on it. He did a good job this week, and that's a huge part, as we've said before, in terms of the willingness, the ability, and the knowledge of the pass protection, in addition to he caught some great passes too. Unfortunately, one got negated by the penalty, but excited about him and looking forward to great things that are in store in the future.
Is Paul an example of a rookie who maybe wouldn't have played as much 5 or 7 years ago? I mean, the league is getting younger. It seems like coaches are more willing to play rookies in those kind of prominent roles.
Well, I think anyone that has that combination of his vision, the ability that he has as a runner, that's going to cause coaches to want to get him on the field. His hands, ability to catch a football. But the biggie, I think, nowadays is maybe is a little bit different than it was five, six, seven years ago, is pass protection. And just because what teams need to do now offensively in terms of formation, and then you add some of the tempo calls, no huddle, and all those things, guys really got to be on his game and not just, be willing, as we mentioned, have the ability, as we mentioned, but then also have the knowledge of how to pass pro. And so I think when a guy brings those things to the table, that does, you know, put him in a position where, you know, lots expected of him, and hopefully he's able to respond, and Perk's done a pretty good job so far.